day, and welcome to the SQM fourth quarter earnings conference call. All participants will be in listen-only mode. Should you need assistance, please signal a conference specialist by pressing the star key followed by zero. After today's presentation, there will be an opportunity to ask questions. Please note that this event is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to Gerardo Lleras. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to SQM's 2016 earnings conference call. For your information, this conference call will be recorded and is being webcast live. You may access the webcast later on at our website, www.sqm.com. Joining me today as speakers are Patricio Solminiak, Chief Executive Officer, and Ricardo Ramos, CFO. Before we begin, let me remind you that statements in this conference concerning the company's business outlook, future economic performance, anticipated profitability, revenues, expenses, or other financial items, anticipated cost synergies, and product or service line growth, together with other statements that are not historical facts, are forward-looking statements as that term is defined under federal securities law. Any forward-looking statements are estimates reflecting the best judgment of SQM based on currently available information and involve a number of risks, uncertainties, and other factors that could cause actual results to differ materially from those stated in such statements. Risks, uncertainties, and factors that could affect the accuracy of such forward-looking statements are identified in the public filings made with the Securities and Exchange Commission, and forward-looking statements should be considered in light of those factors. I now leave you with our Chief Executive Officer, Patricio Solminiak, for brief comments before we move to Q&A.
Thank you, Gerardo. Good morning, and thank you for joining SQM 2016 earnings conference call. Last night, we posted our results for the year. Our net income reached $278.3 million, an increase of 30% when compared to the last year. For the fourth quarter of 2016, we reported earnings of over $80 million. The main highlights of the results were reporting the highest hydrogen sales volume since 2012, reaching solar salt sales volume of almost 60,000 metric tons, and seeing record sales volumes and record average price of lithium. We are also occasionally optimistic that price for potassium chloride may be stabilizing, as we saw higher prices in the fourth quarter when compared to the third quarter of 2016. In the first few months of this year, we have seen this trend continue. We look forward for beginning 2017 with the momentum of 2016, and will remain focused on developing our five core business lines as we see appropriate. We maintain our objective of expanding our reach in the potassium nitrate market, given that we see the water-soluble market showing healthy growth. We continue to move forward with our potassium nitrate expansion and look forward to strengthening our position as a market leader in this business. We are confident solar salt sales volume in 2017 will exceed what's reported in 2016. In the iodine market, the strong volume seen in 2016 may be even increased in 2017. Our continued commitment to the lithium market and our joint venture in Argentina is strong. We will completing the feasibility study and expect to break down ground in the coming month. We have over 100 people currently working on the project, and we expect to invest approximately $100 million this year. We should be operating in 2019 with a cost that will be at the low end of the cost curve. We are working on more than doubling our lithium hydroxide capacity in Chile, and this project will have a total investment of about $30 million, and it should be in operation by the end of this year. Along with our robust earnings, we are also proud of the strong balance sheet with which we finished the year. During 2016, we paid approximately $400 million in dividends. At the same time, we were able to reduce our net financial debt to EBITDA ratio from 2.6 from 0.74, and still reported over $800 million in cash and cash equivalent. We have a great team in place and will not be where we are today without the commitment of the almost 5,000 employees that we have in Chile and abroad. I look forward to 2017 and to tackle the challenges and opportunities we have set out for ourselves. I thank you for joining the call today, and I will now open up the line for questions.
We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, you may press star, then one on your touch tone phone. If you are using a speakerphone, please pick up your handset before pressing the keys. To withdraw your question, please press star, then two. At this time, we will pause momentarily to assemble our roster. Our first question comes from Joel Jackson of BMO Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Good morning. So just a couple questions. So my first question, how much potash production would you expect you would have to reduce in 2017 to hold your lithium production steady? And then should we expect the type of lithium prices we've seen in the second half of the year and the types of lithium costs we've seen for you in the second half of the year to hold in 2017? And how does that change if you're going to shift your mix a bit more to hydroxide?
Thank you, Joe. Regarding to your first question, we do want to make sure that we are able to produce as much lithium as we can, given the market condition. We want to supply our customer and supply their growth. So we expect, as we indicated in our press release, that we will try to sell similar amounts of lithium of the record sales that we have 2016. To do that, we will produce some less potassium chloride in the range of 200 to 250,000 tons. That's regarding your first question. Regarding to your second question, if I understood correctly, the price of lithium, as we also indicated in our press release that we are seeing for the 2017, will depend heavily on how much new supply really come to the market. We have to see those new supply really getting into the market in order to see the effects on the prices and the balance, of course, of supply and demand. We continue to increase our production in lithium hydroxide. Our new plant of lithium hydroxide will not be ready until the end of this year, so we will not be able to really have an important change in 2017. Bigger changes will be starting 2018.
So the types of lithium realized prices that you've realized here, so the prices and costs for lithium that you've realized in the second half of the year, are those reasonable numbers to use for the first half of 2017? For costs and prices?
Regarding cost, we continue to work hard in order to improve our cost. We are optimistic that given that in 2017 we pushed a lot our lithium plant, of course marginal costs were a little bit higher as you can see it in the third and fourth quarter, but now I think we can really improve some our lithium cost. Marginally. Regarding the prices, what we have seen in the first quarter is similar. We have not seen any effect. For the second quarter, we have to still wait and see.
Okay, and just my last question. If I look at your guidance, it seems to imply that you believe that the premium, the NOP over potash premium, is going to compress across 2017 for what you see in your business. Is that true? And what are some of the factors regarding NOP premiums compression?
Well, NOP really is a specialty. It doesn't move exactly how MOP moves, as you have been shown in the history. Given the very strong drop in the price that we have seen in the last 2 years in the MOP, and that has been much, much less in the NOP, we think that there was some space for the NOP to decrease some of the price like was this year. But everything will depend, again, on the supply and demand. We have to see how the supply. We are very optimistic, and we are doing a lot of marketing work to continue supporting the growth, especially in water-soluble products for NOP. So maybe we can see some slight decrease, but again, will depend on the supply and demand situation.
Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Ben Isaacson of Scotiabank. Please go ahead.
It's Oliver Rowan for Ben. Thanks for taking my question. It seems that many companies that use lithium are in the market for assets in order to give themselves longer-term supply security. I'm just wondering if there's been any conversations regarding longer-term lithium contracts that would let you lock in the current prices, and I guess if there's a desire on your end or on the people you supply lithium to do that, or if you prefer to stay closer to the spot market.
Well, thank you, Ben. We have been, in the first place, very clear to the market that we are very committed to the lithium industry. We are an important player, and we see that as a company that there is a great opportunity now to continue growing, and not only an opportunity for the company, but also a responsibility in order to supply and be able to give more volumes to this growing industry. Now, how we can do that, and I understand your question, we prefer to concentrate in the production and being in the supply of the chemical lithium products, as we have been saying. We like to support our customers and assure them the volumes, and that's the way we do the contract with them. We assure the volume, and we see what the market price will be. With some customers, we agree on quarterly prices, with others in 6 months, and with a small quantity of customers in a year contract, depending on each of the situation. We, of course, have analyzed different options, but, of course, we will not comment on them until they are a reality. For now, we continue with our strategy on being in a kind of a yearly spot market.
Makes sense. Thanks for the color. One more on lithium, if I may. Your lithium neighbor in Argentina, Orocobre, has had several problems along the way leading to product quality and ramp-up delays. And given the close proximity of your project, could you discuss how you will mitigate these hurdles and if there's any brine-specific issues that have to be overcome before you start selling?
Well, one of our strengths as a company is our technical capabilities and experience. We have been producing and working with brines for 20 years. Brines that, of course, change during the brines that we work today and produce lithium are completely different from the ones that we started working 20 years ago, and even 10 years ago or 5 years ago. So we do have a lot of experience, first from the hydrological situation of the salars, and second, from a process point of view. So we feel very comfortable that we have the knowledge and the know-how to handle. That's in the first place. In the second place, we have to recognize that each salar is different. It's different in the hydrological situation, is different in the chemical composition, and is different also in the weather conditions. We feel that we have studied in deep the situation, the whole project together with Lithium America in country. We have spent a lot of time and money developing the project, so we feel comfortable that our experience and our study of the situation will allow us to do the investment and to get in the right time and control of the budget and produce the amount of product that we are indicating.
Great, thank you.
Our next question comes from Lucas Ferriar of JP Morgan. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon, gentlemen. I have two specific questions on the fourth quarter numbers. The first one is on lithium sales volumes, which were pretty strong. Wonder if you have more details behind it, if it was a simple destocking or you had a strong production throughout the quarter, especially considering, you know, that this 14.5 thousand tons number is even above your theoretical nameplate capacity. And my second question on the industrial chemicals business, which also came pretty solid, especially in the fourth quarter compared to the second and third quarters. Wonder if you could give us a bit more details on this business and your outlook for 2017, if you expect to have similar volumes and profitability this year. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lucas. First, regarding lithium sales, yeah, you're right. We have a very strong sales of 14,000 tons in the fourth quarter, which is higher than our nameplate capacity. We did sell some inventory. That's why we are thinking that our total sales in 2017 should be in the range of the 50,000 tons and not 14 multiplied by 4. And we also were able to recover some off-spec product that we have accumulated over the years. So that's why we were able to sell that amount of product. Regarding the industrial chemicals, you have to remember the industrial chemical, basically, there are two main businesses. One is the traditional industrial chemical, which is potassium nitrate and sodium nitrate for the industry, and then the solar salt. The key here is solar salt. We were able to ship important volume of solar salts in the fourth quarter that total in the year close to 60,000 tons. And we have contracts, and we already have in the production program to be able to sell more than that, close to 70 or 75,000 tons of solar salts during 2017.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from David Wang of Morningstar. Please go ahead.
Good morning. Thanks for taking my question. Patricio, I'm wondering, for lithium, can you discuss the sales mix in 2016, how it was broken out between carbonate hydroxide?
David, thank you. We do not disclose that given our strategy and the small size of the market. The only thing that I can tell you is that basically in 2016 we increased much more the amount of lithium hydroxide than lithium carbonate, and we were operating our lithium hydroxide plant almost at capacity.
Great. And then if I might follow up, were there any spot market sales done at the much higher level of pricing that you've previously conducted in 2016, and any update on the negotiations of Corfo?
Okay, regarding sales, we have our customer base. We negotiate, as I indicated before, volumes, and then we try to follow the market price. There was, in 2016, a special situation in China that we also took the opportunity to sell some higher small sales, higher spot prices, but that was not important. Average price shows what we are doing into the market. And regarding Corfo, basically We are in the first arbitration process that is in the stage of the expert report, and then basically, if you remember, we have two other arbitrations that the arbitrator was named the same arbitrator of the first process, and now the arbitrator decided that they put together the three processes. So we are right now in that. We expect that this should advance during this year, and there is a possibility that we end up by the end of the year, or could also have a possibility of going forward beginning of next year.
Great. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Antonio Barreto of Itaú. Please go ahead.
Hi, good afternoon. Thanks for the question. My question is about the potash line. We can see from the data here in Brazil that imports were up almost 40% in the fourth quarter, and at least when we talk to industry experts here in the country, we expect it to stabilize. So my question is about your sales mix of potash in the fourth quarter. How much do you think you sold to Brazil, and what was the average price premium between the granular and the FOB Vancouver? Just for us to get an idea of how to think of your average premium over the market prices.
Thank you, Antonio. Traditionally, in the past, we do have an important premium in the sales of granular product into Brazil, spot sales, if you compare it with the contract price, especially into China. Premium has been narrowing a lot, so right now it's not that important. Effectively, we continue to sell an important percentage of our sales, of granular sales into Brazil. We have a very good customer base that we continue to serve, and we have seen at the end of the last quarter, last year, 2016, some small recovery in the price, and that also is seen a small recovery beginning of this year. What will happen with that price, and including the premium, will depend on the negotiation on the contract with China, that we expect that this should be in the next weeks or months.
Okay, thanks. And if you could just comment on your average tax rate, from what we can see, it was a bit higher in this quarter, about 39%. So anything on that would help us.
Okay, regarding the tax, the effective tax rate, effectively in 2015 was 28% and went up to 32%. And basically this is because first the tax rate in Chile went up from 22.5% to 24%. And the other differences are the different taxes that we pay around the world. And of course, it's also related to the deferred tax system.
This concludes our question and answer session. I would like to turn the conference back over to Gerardo Llanes for any closing remarks.
Thank you. Thank you all very much for joining us today, and we hope to have you with us in the next conference call. Goodbye, everyone.
The conference has now concluded. Thank you for attending today's presentation. You may now disconnect.